Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you on this blessed Monday. This is Brother Nate with Church Christ, the Last Message, on the broadcast entitled Jesus Word, the Midnight Cry Broadcast. The phone number is 515-605-9887. That's 515-605-9887. If you have any prayer requests, I pray with you. If you have any questions about the lesson, I do my best. And the Lord Jesus, I ask for you. If you have any comments, I ask that you limit it to a minute and a half to 2 minutes. And if you call to get information on how to obtain a copy of the messages the Lord has been sending through his angel messenger, I will get that to you as well. For those of you who don't like giving your comments or your questions over the air, contact me at NathanielHunt1971@gmail.com. That's NathanielHunt1971@gmail.com. And once again, I will get back to you. Amen. So without further ado, for those of you who are listening, if you don't mind, hey, won't you pray along with me? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for the blessed word of the Lord today, and we thank you for what you're doing and what you're going to do. We invite your spirit to be with us, to counsel us, to teach us, to reveal to us, to instruct us, to direct us in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. We humble ourselves before you this day and acknowledge that without you, we can know nothing. We do acknowledge that you are the all-wise God. So therefore, Lord, we come before you today and we ask that you hear our requests in the name of Jesus. So, Lord God, we give you glory, we give you honor, and we give you praise. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Glory be to God. Thank God for this blessed day. Yesterday, for those of you that follow us on Blog Talk Radio, I know you noticed that we didn't come on. And to some of you, I had sent the links out. We had some technical difficulties that we could not come on yesterday, but glory be to God, he cleared it up. I prayed yesterday, and thank God that he cleared it up. So we're back. Amen. We're back. So today we're going to have two broadcasts, and this is one of them. The one later on will be with Brother Lee, Eddie Lee. The Angel Messenger speaks today at 7 p.m. tonight. So look for that as our brother will come forth and head that off. Today, this is an early morning broadcast I'm doing here. It is starting a new but not new series as we're still dealing with renouncing Mormonism. And the title is Renouncing Mormonism, the Atonement. Renouncing Mormonism, the Atonement. And this is a part one. There will be more than one part to this. Amen. And I want to start off by reading from the Articles in Faith and Practice. And for those of you who have been following us on Blog Talk Radio, especially on this series, you know what the Articles in Faith and Practice I explained to you. This is a list of and there's about 25 of them, things that the Lord had inspired these inspired the men on the temple lot to write. And this is a foundation also for the church to stand on. And I want to read to you Articles of Faith and Practice number 4 and 5. Okay, we did number 4 to the lesson we were trying to do in the last series. This is involving 4 and 5 here, and is involving a certain word that we're going over today. Now, in Articles of Faith and Practice number 4 said, we believe that men will be punished for their own sins and not for Adam's transgression, and that as a consequence of the atonement, now keep that in mind, atonement of Christ. All little children are alive in Christ, okay? And also all they that are without the law. For the power of redemption cometh on all they that have no law. Wherefore, he that is not condemned, or he that is under no condemnation, cannot repent, and unto such baptism availeth nothing. Number 5 says, we believe that through the atonement, the word atonement again, of Christ, all men may be saved by obedience to the laws and ordinance of the gospel, viz., faith in God and in the Lord Jesus Christ, repentance and baptism by immersion for the remission of sins, laying on of hands for ordination, blessing of children, confirmation and the gift of the Holy Ghost, healing of the sick. Now, one word I want you to home in on that I read to you out of these articles in Faith and Practice was the word atonement. And I want to give you a definition from Webster of the word atonement and what it means. And Webster actually provides like four different definitions. But the one that really stood out of atonement means the reconciliation of God and humankind through the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ. And I had to go to another one, too, that also sticks out, means reparation for an offense or injury, satisfaction, okay? So when it talks about the atonement of Christ, it talks about what he did to reconcile God and humankind and what he did that was a satisfaction for an offense, and in our case, for sins, okay? Satisfaction to the Father. Now, having said that, today's new series is the Renouncing Mormonism, the Atonement. Renouncing Mormonism, the Atonement. And what we're going to do, and as I've been sharing this with you guys about how that these articles in Faith and Practice give us, as Christians, especially in the Church of Christ, the Lies of Message, the right to renounce Mormonism. And some would say, well, how did it give you that right? Well, for the simple fact is that when we have been coming before you guys about this work of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is the work of restitution and restoration. And when you look up about this work that we are telling you about and the name of the church, which is the Church of Christ, the Lies of Message, you'll come across a couple of things. Number one, you will come across Joseph Smith. And as I said before, many of you have heard of Joseph Smith, and I guarantee you, the majority of you, if not all of you, have heard nothing but that which was negative, which I do understand. The other thing you'll come across is that, especially on the Wikipedia website, it says that the Church of Christ with the Lies of Message is a branch of the Church of the Latter-day Saints, which are Mormons. So to sum it up, between Joseph Smith and the Latter-day Saints, many of y'all would say about us that we are Mormons. And that is not true. We are born-again believers in Christ. Joseph Smith had some connection to this work of restitution and restoration when he was humble and walked right before God. But he fell into error, gross error, sin, and he started what we know today as Mormonism. And so these articles in Faith and Practice, which declare the church in unity standing on what they believe in, which is in line with God's word, even in the Bible, amen, gives us the right to renounce Mormonism, which has went to attach itself to this work of restoration and restitution, which Mormonism is ungodly. So therefore, this is why, through this article in Faith and Practice, if you really look at it, it gives us the right to renounce Mormonism. Now, I know that some say, hey, we don't talk about other churches and all this stuff. Let me tell you something. And some of you may say, okay, he just picking on the Mormons. Let me explain this to you once again. It's not about picking on the Mormons. I love them with the love of God, and my prayer for them is that they get saved, okay? But you have to call out darkness, especially when darkness has sought to attach itself to that which is godly. It's too many of us as Christians with our hands folded and our mouth closed. Now, I'm not saying you ought to say something every single time, but Jude told us to contend for the faith that once was delivered for the saints. Now, I think that somewhere in the Bible, when many of us got to that page, we turned it quickly because we didn't want to read that. All we want to do is sit in our little huddle with one another and talk to one another, and that's it. And talking about how we, you know, we got to warn the world. Well, how are you going to warn the world without exposing darkness? You at some point going to have to expose darkness. So what are you going to do when you're confronted with the question that, you know, that opens up for you to expose the evil? You're going to be quiet. I leave that up to you. But as for Brother Nate, that's not happening. Okay? The Lord had given me the commission to do this, and I'm going to do it. Amen? So, now, renouncing Mormonism, the atonement. And we're going to look at what the Mormons taught and believe in their teachings concerning the atonement. Amen. And this is why I say, people, that we can't be running around here taking things on face value without investigating. Amen. That's, you know, we don't need to be doing that. So the first place I want to come to you with and talking about this is, and we're going to look at what the Mormons teach and believe. And I want to say this. They don't like to say something against their early leaders, okay? Especially, and I do say especially, at the very top of the list, Joseph Smith. In fact, when you are, when Mormons call themselves witnessing to you, you're going to hear more about Joseph Smith than you hear about Jesus Christ. Joseph Smith is like a god to them. And also Brigham Young, which was the man that came, the successor to Joseph Smith. Now, I want to come to you from a book called The Changing World of Mormonism. The Changing World of Mormonism. And this was written by Gerald and Sandra Tanner. Now, once again, for those of you who don't know, Sandra Tanner is the great-great-granddaughter of Brigham Young, who was a successor to Joseph Smith, okay, who stepped into place, called himself a prophet and all of that, and the people went to following him after Joseph Smith was killed. Now, I'm going to read to you, and that's why I told you this is just part one today. I wonder, and I want you to understand she was once a Mormon. She was in Mormonism for years, so she came out of Mormonism. And she asked a lot of things to say, too, about what Mormons taught, teaching, and believe. So, in the book called The Changing World of Mormonism, I want to read to you what she took down and the information she got and all that and gave. Amen. On the atonement. And we know when we talk about the atonement, we can't talk about the atonement without talking about Jesus' blood being shed for it. We can't go without that. Can't throw that out the window. Well, this is what she says here. She said, in a manuscript written in 1839, Reed Peck said that Joseph Smith claimed he had a revelation in which Apostle Peter told him that he had killed Judas. He, which is Joseph Smith, talked of dissenters and cited us to the case of Judas, saying that Peter told him in a conversation a few days ago that himself hung Judas for betraying Christ. That's in a book called The Reed Peck Manuscript, page 13. Okay. So she goes on to say, although this doctrine was kept secret at first, when the Mormons were settled in Utah, they began to teach it openly. On December 13, 1857, and I'm going to pronounce this word, Heber C. Kimball, a member of the First Presidency, in the Mormon church preached in the tabernacle that, I want you to listen to this, he preached that Judas lost that saving principle, and they took him and killed him. It is said in the Bible that his bowels gushed out, but they actually kicked him until his bowels came out. Judas was like salt that had lost his saving principles, good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden under foot of men. It is so with you, ye elders of Israel, when you forfeit your covenants. I know the day is right at hand when men will forfeit their priesthood and turn against us and against the covenants they have made, and they will be destroyed as Judas was. This is in their Journal of Discord, volume, page 125 to 126, okay? Now, the first thing, and what we want to do now, let's go to our Bibles. If you have your Bibles with you, let's go to the book of Matthew chapter 27. I'm going to tell you why I'm going there. The book of Matthew chapter 27. Amen. The book of Matthew chapter 27. Amen. Now, I want you to hold your place there, and we're going to come to that in a minute. I want to read to you another article that is titled Blood Atonement in the Early Mormon Church. Let me get it right. Blood Atonement in the Early Mormon Church, Famous Trials by Professor Douglas O. Linder. I'm going to read to you what he also said on this subject, even dealing with what he discovered concerning with Joseph Smith, okay? And I want you to hear this, and then we're going to go into the Bible. He said, Joseph Smith, the founder of the Mormon religion and its first prophet, taught that certain sins were so serious as to put the sinner beyond the reach of the atoning blood of Christ. For these fallen sinners, their only hope lay in having their own blood shed to atone. Smith made clear that the shedding of innocent blood, including killing anyone less than 8 years old, which was the age of accountability in Mormon teaching, was an unpardonable sin, which along with failing to keep the covenants or betraying their testimonies, could lead to eternal damnation. In Smith's theology, the doctrine applied only to Mormons, but it was widely viewed as providing justification for shedding the blood of apostates. Now, and Lord said, we're going to come back to that. But I want to deal with the first part where Joseph Smith and this Reed Peck had talked about this, recorded it, that Joseph Smith, and I want you to understand something. This is why I'm telling you about Joseph Smith in his failures. When he was in his failure, he was lifted in pride. He just got off the mark, and he started what is called Mormonism. And one thing about it, this can happen to any of us as a Christian, okay? In fact, it can get so bad that you can receive what you think is revelation from God, and actually it be things coming from the devil or your own mind. And there's no doubt in my mind that when Joseph Smith fell out the way, he starts receiving revelations, so-called revelations, things from the devil and things concerning from his own flesh, his own mind. And he says that the Apostle Peter told him he had killed Judas. Now, the scripture I'm going to send you to now, what I'm about to say is not going to be in the scripture. We're going to look at something else pertaining to this, but he said that the Apostle Peter told him that he had killed Judas. Now, we got to understand something. Peter was not in the first resurrection. The Old Testament saints was in the first resurrection. So Peter has not been fully resurrected yet. So therefore, he ain't coming back, you know, talking, okay? It's just like with, you hear some people saying, well, my grandmama came to me last night, and she been coming to me every day, or my granddaddy been coming to me, talking to me every day. I said, no, because they haven't been resurrected yet. If they are saved, they're in paradise. If they're lost, they're in hell. They're not coming back, giving you instructions and directing you and all that. So he says that and claimed that Peter told him that he had killed Judas, which I know that that's not of God. Amen. That's not of God. But because of Joseph Smith, quote, place, and because at one time he was used by God, many had accepted this thing that he said. Amen. That's why you got to learn to check things, even with people that is being used of God. You still, as a Christian, have a right to check it. Okay? See, some of you, because God have been using some people, you ain't checking nothing. And then the first time that they're wrong, your whole world is devastated. And you're so devastated that now you're going to take it out on God. You don't want nobody to talk to you about praying, studying the word, or nothing. You so upset and so hurt because Pastor Joe, who you really looked up to, you find out that some of the stuff he was telling you was a lie. So now I guess you call yourself going to make God pay for what Pastor Joe did. And you're killing yourself. And then, as she recorded this, Heber C. Kimball, who was a member of the Mormon Church First Presidency. My God, they got all these different kind of offices. That's not of God. It's ridiculous. But anyhow, I read to you from their Journal of Discourse what he said. I'm going to read it again, and then we're going to go into a couple scriptures here. He said, Judas lost that saving principle, and they took him and killed him. It is said in the Bible that his bowels gushed out, but they actually killed, kicked him until his bowels came out. Now, if I go any further, so he's saying that what the Bible says, which we're going to look at in a minute, was not true. Did you catch that? Was not true. Concerning Judas. And that they, which he doesn't reveal who the they are, took him and kicked him. That what made his bowels gushed out. He goes on to say that Judas was like salt that had lost his saving principles, good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden underfoot of men. It is so with you, ye elders of Israel, whom you forfeit your covenants. I know the day is right at hand when men will forfeit their priesthood and turn against us and against the covenants they have made, and they will be destroyed as Judas was. You hear that? They will be destroyed as Judas was. And he said that they would turn against us. See, the Mormons claim that they're the ones, that they're the church. They are the true church. Whether y'all believe it or not, they do. They later they claim we're the true church. The same supposed to be true church that really denies the Bible. Now, they take certain scriptures from the Bible to try to validate themselves. Like the last series I did on called Baptized for the Dead, I read to you where they take two scriptures out of the Bible. And it has nothing to do with being baptized for the dead. Overall, the Mormons say that they're the church and the Mormon book is the book, period. Okay? Amen. Now, let's look at Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27. I'm going to start at verse 1. And I'm going to read to verse 3. Amen. No, I'm going to go to start at verse 1, and I'm going to read to probably verse 8 or 9. It says, when the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they laid him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned and that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to that, you know. In other words, we don't care about how you feel. We don't care if you feel like you betrayed someone innocent. That ain't got nothing to do with us. That's you. Okay. Verse 5 said, and he cast down a piece of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. You see that he hanged himself. And the chief priest took the silver pieces and said, it is not lawful for to put them into the treasury, because it is the price of blood. And they took counsel and bought with them the potter's field to bury the bury strangers in. Wherefore that field was called the field of blood unto this day. Now, we see right here that Judas was convicted, and he felt remorse because now he see, man, I betrayed the innocent blood. I sold Jesus out for money. That was just low down to me. And the grief was so much that the Bible said he hung himself. He didn't do like I read to you Heber Kimball said, someone took him and killed him, took him and kicked him, or what it was recorded that Joseph Smith said, that Peter said he killed him. Okay. None of that. The Bible said here he hung himself. He hung himself. He was so overcome with the grief that he hung himself. There is nothing about someone taking him and kicking him. Amen. It's nothing about that. Let's go to the book of Acts chapter 1. The book of Acts chapter 1. Let's go here. The book of Acts chapter 1. And see, people, what I want you to see is that check everything. Check everything. And quit taking on what the world say is love and peace, which means to accept and tolerate. The world says, I know you don't agree, but just accept and tolerate for the sake of love and peace. Well, if you read throughout the whole, let's take the Bible alone. If you read throughout the whole Bible, you won't find that Jesus said that in there. Love and peace is to accept and tolerate. You're not going to find that, people. You're going to find that at all. And it's sad to say that you have some Christians who have accepted that notion. And that's why you see anything and everything going on in many of these churches. Even though the pastor's up there and he don't agree with it, but he's accepted and tolerated because this is the new norm. This is me showing love and peace. Okay? It's just like back here, what was it, 2 or 3 years ago, there in the Congress up there in, I think, Iowa somewhere, they let a witch pray in their meeting. A witch pray in their meeting. People, let me tell you something. If you let a witch pray in your meeting, you are what they call asking to be cursed, okay? But see, that's how America has gotten. The sake of love and peace, accept and tolerate. Oh, they may worship the devil, but just accept and tolerate their practice. So you can end up being cursed. Now, in Acts chapter 1, verse 16, the word of God said, men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them, which was guide to them that took Jesus. Okay, Judas led the enemy to Christ, for he was numbered with us. Okay, he was, you know, he said, oh, okay, he was with us and had obtained part of this ministry. Okay. Amen. Now, this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. Do you hear that? Peter is confirming, now by him falling, as Peter said, headlong, it was from him when he hung himself, boom, fell, you know, and Peter said his bowels, that he fell on, he burst asunder, and all his bowels gushed out. Peter didn't say nothing about somebody took him and killed him. And get this, this is Peter speaking. You look at verse 15, and in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of names together were about 120. Then he started speaking. Now, Joseph Smith, in his era, claimed that Peter came and told him that he killed Judas. Well, how come Peter didn't just admit that right there? What did Peter have memory problems? Did he have the forget-me-nots? Or did he have OPA, which is on-purpose amnesia? Did he have that? I mean, come on, really? And see, Peter, in his explanation, explaining what happened to Judas, he said nothing about somebody took him and kicked him and kicked him till his bowels gushed out. Nothing of that was said. So where did this stuff come from? Well, one place we know it didn't come from, it didn't come from the Lord. See, Joseph Smith, at one time, and I say it again, he was used as a prophet of the Lord. But he became big-headed. That's why when God is using you, Christian, we got to learn to stay humble. And Joseph got so big in himself, especially when he saw people praising him and people looking up to him. That's why when God used you to give somebody a word, be careful of how they keep coming to you and depending on you to get a word from God, and they get to a point they don't even pray to God themselves. You better be careful. If you don't, you'll be putting yourself in a place where like you're a god or an idol, and you're going to come down. And Joseph Smith, in his pride and haughtiness and arrogance, became delusional. And I do believe, from the things that we've seen, God, that all of them went just as mine. I believe the devil came and played a role to him too as well, that the devil was giving him stuff. You know, just like what's going on today, okay? Hallelujah. Amen. It's going on today. People are claiming revelations. I listened to some people today who claim just in it, like a particular revelation they got from the Lord, and claiming God is okay with this and that. And a lot of this stuff is contradicting what's already written. But because this person either is popular, well-known, charismatic, can talk a good game, people just fall in line with it. They just accept it. And because the person said it was from God, they automatically say, well, it was from God. When it wasn't. When it wasn't. And it's amazing, and I'm going to stop it here on this part one today. It's amazing to me how that, and if you are in the Word, you can tell that some stuff you would hear is so ridiculous that people claim they've got it from God, that If it doesn't make you upset, it will make you fall out loud. I've heard some things that people have said, so-called revelations they claim they've got from God, that made me just bust out loud. I know that the ones I was that was around me when I did it thought that, okay, this guy losing it here because he's just busting out loud. But see, much of this stuff is, you know, man claiming, okay, I got this revelation from God, and God told me this. And, you know, just like you got one person who is standing as a minister that has been said that they've been talking about God get tattoos and God for tattoos. Now, he's going to speak against it in Leviticus, and he's going to change his mind, okay? Now, when something shows a marksmanship of honoring demons and devils, God is not going to change his mind on that. Even if he just mentioned in the Old Testament, even if you don't see the words in the New Testament no more, you don't have to. Well, you say, why is that? Because when it comes to something that's honoring demons, God passes decrees. He's not going to change. He's not going to one minute tell you, like say in the Old Testament, speak against demons, and then the next minute change his mind and say, well, it's okay for you to communicate with them. He's not going to do that, okay? There are some things that God speaks that is a decree. It is an unchangeable law, okay? It's not going to change. Some things he spoke was just conditional, okay? Some of it, you know, just like the sacrificing of the animals. That was just conditional. Why? Because it was a teaching tool, the mechanism, a teaching tool, especially one of the things it was a teaching tool for Israel. But there are some things he speak, you know, that is unchangeable. And it's, and also, you have to look at his nature. The nature of God never changed. From the old to the new, it never changed. And it never will. That's why in Hebrew, he said he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Cover all three tenses, people, all three time frames on this world. In this world, all three time frames, it covers. He's the same, okay? There is no changing in the true and living God. So I wanted to open up with this part one today. Like I said, it's more than one part to this part of the series. And I open up with that because, number one, you know, as I did it, you'll see more why that, you know, they're talking about, you know, Peter killed him or why Judas' bowels gushed out, what that had to deal with in dealing with atonement and all that. So praise be to God. Let us pray. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ, who is Lord and God, and we thank you for this day you've made and created. And Father, we ask, Lord God, that you will bless all those that have been listening. Keep them and strengthen them, Lord, in the name of Jesus. So, Lord God, we give you glory and honor and praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Glory be to God. I thank God for all you listening. Don't forget tonight at 7 p.m., we have a broadcast with Brother Eddie Lee. The Angel Messenger speaks today. Look for it at 7. So once again, this is Brother Nate with the Church Christ Eliza Message on a broadcast entitled Jesus' Word, the Midnight Cry Broadcast. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless.